sports betting landscape from coast to coast. This is Betting Across America with Mike Pritchard and Josh Applebaum on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome into the show. It is Betting Across America, and we are presented by BetMGM. I'm Mike Pritchard, your host, live here in Las Vegas. Your other host is on the East Coast, out in Boston. Good afternoon, Josh Applebaum.
Good afternoon, Pritch. How you doing? Big day today on a Wednesday, Pritch. We got 10 NBA games, 5 in the NHL, Game 2 of the World Series. I also think today is a big homework day for the NFL and college football. It's these days where we can, you know, really kind of pick off good numbers. Get a 3.5 before it falls to 3. You know, get a 2.5 before it gets up to 3. These are the kind of the slow days where if you put in the work, you can really be happy when the weekend comes around. Also buried the lead. It's Adam Birthday. I can't wait to talk to Adam, get his plays for this weekend. But, Pritch, I got to check in on you. How was your birthday? Are you feeling okay? Were you banged up last night? Did you get after it? Happy birthday, my man.
Of course, I took some bumps and bruises last night. I mean, that was a given. From 1 o'clock after the show to about 11 p.m., Josh Applebaum, pedal to the metal on my birthday. But it should be like that out here in Vegas, right? Family and friends all over the place, all over the city. So had an outstanding day. Thank you very much. I'm here. I'm certainly here, ready to go today.
I made it.
And Adam Burke is going to be with us in studio. Cannot wait to break down some games with Adam Burke. Excellent, excellent sports betting analyst right there. But we got to get to some news and notes because the 49ers and the Bears. Looks like Khalil Mack will not play because of that foot injury. He hasn't really been practicing, but I think he's going to go on IR. He should go on IR anyway. So I've seen this number tick up a little bit. 3.5, maybe 4 some places. Right now, we have the 49ers minus 3.5 in this game.
Yeah, exactly right, Pritch. So if you're ever wondering, you know, we look at quarterbacks, we look at star players, pitchers, goalies, the people who can really affect numbers. But this just goes to show you Khalil Mack, a defensive guy, can also affect a number. Not quite as big as in, you know, a quarterback here. But we're looking at Pritch again, two teams that have really struggled here, 2-4 San Fran, 1-5 ATS, Chicago 3-4, 3-4 ATS. Chicago's lost 2 straight. San Fran has lost 4 straight. Both these teams in desperate need of a win here. And I also look at the Bears here early, Pritch. You know, we had an opener of around minus 3.5. It kind of was staying where it was at, but it was really trending down toward 3 at a lot of shops, plus 3.5, minus 115. And a lot of system matches here on Chicago. I know they've been tough to bet on here recently, but if you're looking at these conference dogs, plus 7 or less, 64% ATS this year. You also have a West Coast team going east for an early 1 o'clock game. So that, you know, not a tried-and-true system, but kind of a good angle there to bet against a team like that. Public all over San Fran, even though they haven't played well recently. So I'm locked and loaded. I'm saying, hey, let me pick off a 3.5 with Chicago before it falls to 3. And then, of course, the news of this big injury here to Khalil Mack. And Pritch, I saw the same thing. It looks like his season may be done here, which is rough if you're a Bears fan. But as soon as that news broke, any of those 3.5s juiced up under to the Bears got evened out at 3.5, minus 110. Then we've seen some shops, Pritch, inch up to 4. So I think if you're looking at Chicago here, I'm still looking at buying low on Chicago. And I just don't think San Fran, and again, this is a system I've looked at a long time, but if you have a road team that's really popular, heavy amount of bets, heavy amount of money, just in terms of a home dog situation, buying low after a couple losses, I'd lean Chicago here. Okay. But I'm going to get a little greedy, Pritch. Can I get a plus 4? Will the news of Khalil Mack even cause more money, more movement to the 49ers? I'd be looking to buy low on the Bears. And then, Pritch, also that total, open 41 down to 39.5. Could be a little windy there at Soldier Field, 10-15 mile-an-hour winds with an offense with the Chicago that doesn't put up a lot of points, like 15 a game. So a little money to the under, and I'd be looking at maybe buying low if this thing hits 4 with the Bears plus 4.
It might get to 4 indeed, Josh, because you do have questions and concerns with that offense and now questions and concerns with that defense. Robert Quinn, COVID situation, Akeem Hicks. I mean, that's a big portion of that defensive front, and that's all Chicago has right now when you think about from a defensive perspective, their defensive front. But now Khalil Mack could go on short-term on IR. So that would be about 3 weeks as opposed to the entire season with that foot situation right there. So keep an eye on that, monitor that situation. Packers and the Cardinals, we mentioned this one. The line continues to move now 6.5 for the Cardinals as a favorite at home. Alan Lazard also placed on the COVID reserve list with Davante Adams. So here you go. I believe Lazard's not even vaxxed either. So you have the situation where there's some doubt, but maybe Davante Adams could show up in, for this game. We don't know that yet, but we'll see. And then you have Lazard completely out of this game. So Aaron Rodgers without weapons. I mean, it's Aaron Rodgers. I get it. It's tempting. It's 6.5 points, but who is he going to throw the ball to?
Yeah, Pritch, you might have to get take a week off from Beeson and go get out there and suit up. And Aaron Rodgers needs some wideouts here. But, no, I'm keeping you here on the program. We need you. But I would say this is just a huge impact, a huge move based on all this COVID stuff. We were doing the show. It was -3.5. But then you see the news, and we kind of had an inkling of this with that defensive coordinator testing positive. And you're right, Lazar unvaccinated. He would need multiple tests here. It looks to be definitely out for this game.
Oh, yeah.
Probably not Devontae Adams. I think Schefter just tweeted very unlikely.
Okay.
So it's going to be Randall Cobb and maybe Valdez-Scantling comes back. That's a questionable, but a big questionable there. But still, Pritch, to me, you know, I think if you jumped on Arizona early when this was -3.5, -4, -4.5, kind of anything, you know, closer to that opener, you're feeling great right now. Obviously, the Cardinals have been undefeated. They're playing great. You're getting, you know, you're laying a short number at home. But now I think the value's gone. And to me, it really creates a situation of, can we get greedy and get a +7 with the Packers? That's what I'm holding out for, Pritch. A lot of these books that have shot up to 6.5, think of it this way. You're laying the Cardinals -6.5. They could roll, win by 10, win by 20. You could win your bet, but you're getting the worst of the number at this point. And also, it's really changed, Pritch. When we opened early in the week, this was my worry, and I was looking at Green Bay +3.5 because I thought it may get down to 3 with without any of these COVID issues popping up. My one concern was Green Bay going to be a little bit of a trendy dog? You know, Aaron Rodgers getting points. The public can really buy into that. But now they're no longer trendy at all. If anything, they're one of those gross unpopular dogs now where you see the injury to Adams and all these COVID situations and you're going to be down a lot of wide receivers. So really the public is saying, give me Arizona all day. This is going to be a blowout. Now we're all the way up to 6.5. Now we may get to 7. If I can get a 7 here, Green Bay +7, and as long, and here's the key, as long as Aaron Rodgers doesn't have any COVID issues, I would still take the points here. Packers, if you look at these spots, conference dogs 7 or less, 35-20, 64% ATS this year. Primetime dogs 14-7 ATS, 67%. Road dogs have been 58% ATS. I'm looking to buy on this bad news, and if I can get that key number 7, I'll be looking at the Packers here. I think you're getting the best of the number, and really in a spot where Rodgers, Pritch, when you're a Super Bowl winner, you got all these MVPs, you got all these awards, what gets you going? Maybe when you're down a few guys and you're saying, hey, I can prove people wrong. They don't believe in me. I like that angle with the +7, and I would say, too, a lot of under money has come in with these wide receivers out for Green Bay. It opened 52.5, now down to 50.5, 50. I see a 49.5 out there. So there's under money coming in. Big move to Arizona, but I think you missed the boat in buying low on the +7 Green Bay. That intrigues me here.
Yeah, it's been over a decade, though, for that Super Bowl for Aaron Rodgers. Let's welcome into the program Adam Burke, our VSiN Sports Betting Analyst, Point Spread Weekly Contributor. Adam, how are you?
I'm good. I know you're a year older, but you look like you could still go out there and catch a couple touchdown passes, Pritch.
I got about 2 plays in me. That's it.
Both touchdowns.
Sure.
Red zone opportunities.
I can produce 2 touchdowns, but about 2 plays, maybe 1.5. We'll see. But this game is intriguing because this line keeps going up. -6.5, Josh Applebaum was just talking about perhaps 7. I'm looking at the Packers averaging, with everybody healthy, 24 points a game with Aaron Rodgers, right? And then I don't know if people are discounting how great Arizona has played so far. As an offense, they're averaging 32 points a game. That's an 8-point gap right there between these two teams.
Yeah, you know, initially early in the week on Sunday night when the lines were coming out, I did like under 53 in this game.
Right.
And now, obviously, you have all these injury situations and the COVID concerns for the Packers and all of that. What Josh is saying is correct. I mean, if you liked Arizona, there's not a whole lot of equity in taking the Cardinals at this point in time. It's either really Packers or nothing if you get that 7, and a 7 has popped down at Circa Sports here in downtown Las Vegas, so maybe other books will kind of follow suit. To me, I think at this point in time, the value is going to be attacking the prop market for the Packers.
Okay.
Who winds up getting those targets that would have gone to Devontae Adams, that would have gone to Alan Lazard? My guess is Aaron Jones. I think you have to give Aaron Jones 20 to 25 touches in this game if you're the Packers. So that would mean looking at Jones over rushing yards, over rushing plus receiving yards, something like that. Maybe you play a Robert Tonyan prop. But I think you have to try to find ways to play Packers props now with so many guys out if you can isolate the player that Rodgers is going to use. And to me, I think that's Aaron Jones.
Adam, it's great to have you in studio. I'm going to mix it up a little bit, talk a little baseball tonight. Obviously, we saw yesterday Houston losing, Atlanta taking a 1-0 lead, winning 6-2. Intriguing there was late money after our show, guys, really moved to Atlanta. This is the importance of, you know, monitoring the market, looking at late moves. You had Houston, I think when we did the show, Pritch, they were -130.
Right.
They fell all the way to like -120, -115. So late money was on Atlanta. And then also really intriguing spot with the total, 8.5, 8. It kept going back and forth. You get the over under eight, you push, 8.5 under, you win here. So, Adam, what are you looking at for tonight? We got Max Fried against Jose Urquidy here. It looks like a little movement toward Houston. You know, they open around like minus 105, minus 110, kind of a pick 'em number slightly to Houston. They've been ticked up a little bit to around minus 115. We've seen some more over money, 8.5 up to 9. What do you think, Adam? Is it just, hey, if you keep giving me Atlanta with plus money, you should take it? Or do you think Houston bounces back? And any thoughts on that total tonight?
Yeah, you know, in terms of the line that we're seeing for this game here, I do think the value is on Atlanta tonight. You know, I look at Max Fried, and I think he has a lot more upside than Jose Urquidy in this spot. Also, the thing for Urquidy to keep in mind, one of the reasons why I liked Framber Valdez yesterday for Houston, he's an extreme ground ball guy. The Braves purposely try to elevate the baseball. They try to hit fly balls. They try to hit line drives. We've seen a lot of smart, analytically savvy teams do this in Major League Baseball over the last few seasons. And the Braves had the second lowest ground ball percentage in the regular season on offense, trailing only the San Francisco Giants, who are obviously very well versed in analytics themselves. So last night they faced a ground ball pitcher. Tonight, they face a fly ball pitcher in Urquidy and a guy who doesn't really have a high strikeout rate. So I think the Braves' offense is set up nicely here for tonight's game. So I like the Braves plus money. I think Braves team total over has some value to it. Maybe Braves first five, something like that. You could take the bullpens out of the equation because both bullpens working very hard last night. But I think you start with a position on the Braves or something related to the Braves' offense, and I think you're set up for success here tonight.
Have you noticed anything about the Braves, real quick, about the moxie of this team? I mean, they only won 88 games in the regular season.
Yeah, absolutely, Pritch. I mean, look, you know, you give them a lot of credit for what they've done here so far in the postseason after only winning 88 games. Yeah. And it's sort of an us against the world chip on our shoulder. Nobody believes in us mentality. And they've really ridden that here so far.
How about that? Indeed helps find great hires fast. Indeed is your all-in-one platform for interviewing, screening, and hiring high-quality people. Visit Indeed.com/credit. We're going to continue with Adam Burke, our VSiN sports betting analyst, also Point Spread weekly contributor. Adam Burke, more on the show coming up next.
This is Betting Across America with Mike Pritchard and Josh Applebaum on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey everybody, it's time to get into BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Just download the app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip. With your state-issued ID, open an account, start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love the technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 years old and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. If you feel that you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-522-4700. Welcome back to the show. It's Betting Across America. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum with you today. And so is Adam Burke, VSiN sports betting analyst, also Point Spread weekly contributor, which is out today. Absolutely fantastic as always. Let's get to the National Football League with your analysis here, Adam Burke. The Chargers and the Patriots. The Chargers off of bye week. The Patriots found their elixir as they played the Jets last week, and everything feels good right there with that situation. How do you see this game?
Yeah, you know, I really like the Chargers in this spot, actually. I'll go ahead and lay the number here with Los Angeles for a variety of different reasons. First of all, I really like Brandon Staley off the bye. Okay. I think he's a guy that will have his team ready to go. He did talk earlier on in the week during his media availability about, you know, his team's lack of early down success.
Okay.
So that's something that he worked on throughout the bye. So I think that's something that's really going to help them kind of put the Patriots on their heels a little bit early on in this game. Also, we know that the Chargers can't stop the run. Everybody knows that. But the Patriots can't really run the football. So this is a decent matchup for the Chargers defense, which is top five in DVOA against the pass. So I do like that for them as well. And lastly here, look, I mean, the Patriots are plus seven in turnover margin against the Jets. They're minus seven in turnover margin against everybody else. So I think the Chargers take care of the football here. I think they put some pressure on Mac Jones. I think this line should be at least seven, and it's not. So I think anything under seven is a pretty good look here for the Chargers.
Adam, you got a good number on that one, too. We're showing 5.5 on our board, but I'm seeing a lot of these books get up to 6. So, obviously, below that key number, I think you identified the best of it right there. But I want to turn the page here, talk about Cincy and the Jets this weekend. Obviously, the game that we all can't wait to watch is going to be brutal. I just saw the Patriots game against the Jets. This is a Jets team that I believe, actually, with Mike White, it felt like their offense was getting a little bit more in sync, as much as the Jets' offense can be. But Adam, we've seen a big move here toward the Bengals. They opened like -8.5. I'm seeing a lot of shops up to -10.5. We have seen these double-digit favorites, which has been a bit of a surprise here, be pretty good this year. 8-3 ATS double-digit favorites. If you're a double-digit favorite, the line moves at least a half point in your direction. You're around 56% ATS the last 5 years. So movement towards Cincy. But I think you may have a play on the total here. And we did see it open 44. It's down to around 42. Cincy's averaging 27 a game. Jets giving up 29. Jets not scoring much here. But what do you think, Adam? Is this another, you know, blowout situation where maybe you can cash in over because this Bengals team keeps scoring and the Jets can't stop anybody?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what I'm looking for here, Josh. I do like the over in this game. I am waiting a little bit to see if I can get a 41.5, 42, a fairly important number if we get a 28-14 game, something like that here. But I am looking to bet the over in this game when the market kind of bottoms out. Look, I think the Bengals get theirs. I mean, Joe Burrow looks great. Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow obviously have a great rapport dating back to their time at LSU. And I also think, too, the Bengals are they're scheming really well on offense. They're doing a lot of really smart things on offense. They picked apart the Ravens last week, obviously. I think they can do the same thing here to the Jets. The thing about this is I think in the second half, Cincinnati may start looking ahead. They play the Browns next week. So this is one of those divisional sandwich spots. They're coming off the big blowout win over Baltimore. Now they take on Cleveland next week. If they have a big lead, I would be surprised if we get a full defensive effort in the second half from Cincinnati. And I do think that's the way that this game could kind of play out. And also, too, Pritch, I want to get your take on this real quick. Mm-hmm. Mike White, right? Nobody knows really anything about this guy.
I don't even know who he is.
is that a positive for the Jets? I mean, is that a benefit that the Bengals don't really have film to game plan off of?
No. Okay. I mean, okay. Can he play? I mean, I think the Bengals are thinking, can this guy play? And, okay, what do we need to defend? I mean, if he was a player, if he was that kind of guy, then, yeah, I think you would kind of pay attention to that. Now, it's no disrespect. I mean, the Bengals are going to respect this player, but it's more about the player and how he's playing with the Jets and his team right now, more so than trying to discover why wasn't he playing sooner, that kind of thing. Is he that good? I don't know if the Bengals are going to be worried about that, but I will piggyback on what you said about the Bengals. This is a spot where I look at a team that has not been there, done that, and then might not know how to handle success, right? And so this could be a look-ahead spot. Now, if it was a team that has gone to the playoffs all the time or Super Bowls all the time, okay, they're not going to look over an opponent or look past an opponent. But the Bengals, this is new territory for them. So I think there's a chance that that could happen.
Yeah, I think so too. And again, I mean, a much more important game the following week against the Browns. Right. So, you know, I mean, look, if you've got a big lead, maybe you kind of sit back there and prevent cover four, whatever, and just, you know, the Jets can move the football in that kind of game state, I think, I hope. So I'm looking at the over here, but again, I'm hoping to get 41.5 on this one if it gets there.
Adam, let's transition over to college football. I know we got a couple plays this weekend. You know, one that really jumped out to me, Fresno State and San Diego State in the Mountain West. What really was intriguing to me is the fact that you have San Diego State ranked 21st in the country, 7-0, undefeated. Fresno State 6-2, but they're unranked. And we always talk about how rankings can have a huge influence on the public. Just taking the higher ranked team, the ranked team versus the unranked team, they really can create a lot of bias in the market from recreational bettors. So what jumped out to me, Adam, is that San Diego State is only laying one, and really they've kind of stayed at one. Some shops were even inching down, maybe toward a pick 'em. I think at one point, you know, San Diego State might have even been -1.5. Why is the number so short? Why is it staying where it's at if everyone's on San Diego State? And why is it even inching down to Fresno? It looks to me like Fresno plus a point or money line play could be a worthwhile spot. Unranked versus ranked teams this year are 56% ATS. So how do you see this game? And is this a fishy number to you as it is appears to me?
Yeah, I know. I was against San Diego State last week, along with a lot of people. I know producer here, Ben Wilson, also against San Diego State last week. And look, I mean, I still think that you can pick on the Aztecs here. They are a very flawed football team. They are very poor offensively. The defense looks good, but also some of that is a byproduct of the teams that they've played against. Fresno State here is probably the most balanced team that they've played since that triple overtime or double overtime win over Utah. Jake Haener can throw the football around the yard. That's something that San Diego State really hasn't seen the last few weeks, including last week when they faced the Air Force triple option. So I think the defense for the Aztecs is up against it a little bit here. Fresno State, also a team that's still in the top 40 in yards per play allowed defensively. So they're a pretty stout defensive unit. San Diego State's offense is very limited to begin with. Now they take on a better offense and also a better defense. I think this is the week the Aztecs go down. So I'll fade them again here this week, and if it doesn't happen this week, I may have to reevaluate.
We're handicapping college football with Adam Burke, our VSiN sports betting analyst, also Point Spread Weekly contributor. Just outstanding all the way around, too, to have in studio with us right now. So Clemson in trouble. They are 0-7 ATS. I did not know that. Thanks to you on this one. Florida State plus 10. You like them over Clemson.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is partially a buy of Florida State, but also a fade of Clemson. Okay. I mean, look, you know, this Clemson team offensively very, very limited. It's very hard for them to create margin unless they, you know, win this game 17-7, some kind of thing like that. So I'd really worry about that for the Tigers here, laying the full 10. Florida State, yes, they played UMass last week, and I understand UMass is one of the worst teams in college football, but they hung 59 points. They were up 38-3 at halftime coming out of the bye. They've looked a lot better offensively here over the last three games, three-game winning streak for them. I think they're on an upswing. Clemson is on a downswing. And for this Clemson program, for these players specifically, a lot of pressure because the narrative now is what's happening to Clemson? Is this the end of the dominance that we've seen from the Tigers here in the ACC? So not only are you trying to win a game, but you're also trying to win for the sake of the program. So I think there's a lot of pressure on Clemson in this spot. Florida State, you know, tracking upward, Clemson tracking downward. I think 10 is just too many in this spot.
Adam, we'll see if we can fit in one last college game here. And what I love about you is, you know, you can find any value on the board if it matches a model that you like. And here, a perfect example, Southern Miss, Middle Tennessee State, very low bet game. No one's really talking about it. It's not your Alabama, your SEC, your big team. So when I saw your card and you mentioned this play, I was like, oh, Adam must have a good angle here. This is a game that no one's looking at. But Adam, what's your take on the total? Open around 48, it's kind of stayed 48. I'm seeing a little weather, you know, could be rainy, could be windy here, 10 to 15 miles an hour. I think you might be leaning under with this game, Southern Miss and MTSU.
Yeah, not even a lean under. This is a bet for me under 48 here. As you mentioned, weather being a factor, I mean, that's going to make two really bad offenses look even worse here in this game, I would think. Southern Miss has played six games against FBS teams on the season. They've scored 7, 9, 14, 19, 13, and been shut out in their six FBS games. So this is one of the worst offenses in the country. 3.6 yards per play in their six FBS games. They are 129th in the nation in yards per play. The only team worse than them is Navy, and Navy runs the football all the time. So you got a Southern Miss offense that's just abominable. I mean, it's a terrible unit. Middle Tennessee State here, they're 125th in the nation in third down success rate. So it's not like they're a robust offense either. I think this game is terrible. I think this game is played a lot between the 20s. The weather factor that Josh mentioned, this is a stone cold under here for me. So under 48 in that Southern Miss Middle Tennessee game.
Stone cold. Under. I like that
Steve
one right
Austin.
There. Right. I love that. Ice T, I mean, we can keep going with that one. Matty Ice, you want to keep, you know. So VSiN newsletter, what you got coming up on that?
Yeah, a lot of stuff. In the subscriber newsletter, I do my Burke's betting blurbs article. Today I talked about teasers in the NFL. I'm going to do a part two on teasers in the NFL tomorrow in that subscriber newsletter. But also, as you mentioned, Pritch, Point Spread Weekly out today. VSiN.com/subscribe. I'll get it spit out here eventually.
We got time.
Thanks for all the plugs, Pritch. I appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. We appreciate you in studio as always.
Thanks, Adam.
Adam Burke right there with us here on the program. Come up next, Josh. There's some teams with problems in the National Football League that needs fixing. We're going to fix it. That's coming up next.
This is Betting Across America with Mike Pritchard and Josh Applebaum on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This segment of Betting Across America is presented by Zen Nicotine Pouches. Zen is working to create a world where you can enjoy life on your own terms. Zen Nicotine Pouches are a smoke-free, spit-free, and hassle-free tobacco alternative that can be enjoyed on the go anywhere and anytime. Zen's nicotine pouches are clean and discreet with no lingering smell. You can also use Zen indoors or out, making it the perfect complement to your everyday. Available in 10 varieties, including spearmint, coffee, and citrus. Zen can be found at convenience stores nationwide, so you can find your Zen wherever you are. Zen also comes in two strengths, so you can have control over your nicotine satisfaction. Zen contains nicotine and is only for adult nicotine consumers over 21. Learn more and find your local retailer at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Welcome back to the show. It's Betting Across America. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum with you today on the program. Josh, fast and furious today. Adam Burke was outstanding.
He was great, as always. And I totally recommend, and Mitch Moss just tweeted this, I retweeted it, read Adams' breakdown of teasers. I think he did a really good job here, kind of just setting the stage of how to attack them, which situations provide the most value. So another reason to sign up for the VSiN newsletter, VSiN.com/newsletter. Great job. Adams been doing an awesome job here every day in the newsletter.
Yeah, absolutely. Look forward to him every single Wednesday. We can have him in studio. Time for another Fix It. Are you ready? You didn't like it last week with my Cam Newton recommendation. They played the Jets, so they look great, right?
Yeah, Cam would have had, you know, three touchdowns and no picks. So, yeah, anyone would have torn up the Jets. Pritch, I could have been quarterback, you receiver, we would have torn up the Jets. So, Cam, I don't know what he's up to. Maybe Seattle, who knows? But, yeah, I'll stick with Mac Jones, Pritch.
Okay, well, let's start with the Panthers and their offense under Sam Darnold. They need to fix this big time. Darnold, last four games, 0-4, four touchdowns, seven INTs, below 60 rating three times. So here you go with Sam Darnold. The 3-0 start has led to this 0-4 development, if you ask me, because the beginning of the season hid everything that was going wrong with Sam Darnold or that is wrong with Sam Darnold, and he didn't fix it. You know, it's rare that you have a franchise quarterback that gets traded, if it at all happens, really. So I think Sam Darnold needs to realize, Josh, that he's not a franchise quarterback, even though the Panthers gave up some equity there to acquire him. He still needs to prove a lot. He is not there yet. And I'm saddened to see a player with his ability take it for granted. For instance, in the pocket, his footwork is horrendous. He's inaccurate with the football. He's overthrowing people. He's not reading defenses because he cannot operate in a pocket. We know he's a great athlete. We know he can escape the pocket to Josh and make plays. But you're not going to win in this league if you cannot operate from the pocket. So in my opinion, Sam Darnold needs to fix that in order to help the Panthers win games.
I think you're totally right here, Pritch. And again, going into last week, going to the Giants, I think that's the reason why you saw that really sharp line freeze on the G-men. Remember, G-men had been really struggling. Carolina started 3-0, and really the wheels have fallen off here, but that line stayed at 3. And again, Darnold only putting up 3 points here, you know, last week. I think one thing to look an eye out for, though, Pritch, and, you know, by the way, what'll make Darnold look better? Getting Christian McCaffrey back. I think that's going to make him look a lot better here. And there was some news today where it's leaking out that the Panthers are not going to seek a trade for Deshaun Watson. So prior to the deadline, Carolina is a team that we've been hearing about maybe a Watson trade, but it looks like they're out on Watson. So really, Darnold, maybe it's a vote of confidence. Maybe it's, hey, you know, I got to turn this thing around, and maybe he can, you know, take advantage of a divisional game this week. So Pritch, I kind of like buying low on Carolina at Atlanta this weekend. You know, number one, a lot of these books were -2.5 Atlanta. They're up to the key number of 3. But this is a very lopsided play on Atlanta. This just goes to show you recency bias in the NFL. When Carolina was 3-0, they were the hottest thing, you know, best thing since sliced bread. Now they've lost 4 straight. No one wants to touch them. On the flip side, Atlanta has now won a couple straight games, 3 of their last 4. So you're seeing this, you know, Atlanta's good, Carolina's terrible, but yet this line is pretty much 2.5 to 3, hasn't moved off the 3. I'd be looking at buying low in Carolina in this spot, Pritch. I think you're never going to get him in a lower watermark than you are right now. You're getting a key number. Also, you look at road dogs off a loss this year, 55% ATS. And then that dog off a blowoff, off a blowout system match. You lose by 20 or more, you come back the next game. Those teams are 7-4 ATS this year, 56% ATS the last decade. And then you also look at those short road dogs plus 3 or less, 12-5 ATS this year. So I know it looks kind of fishy, but in these divisional games, if you're giving me 3 with Carolina, I'll take it. And I would just say, too, a team that's not scoring a lot, and I believe is 5-2 to the under, that total dipped a little bit, 47 down to 46. Right. Maybe an under opportunity, but I'll grab the points in a divisional game. That thing looks fishy to me. I'll take the 3. Now they're being undervalued. Last week it was they're getting all the love. They're getting no love this week, Pritch. And you know me, I like those gross dogs on the road in division games.
Sure. No, I just wonder about Darnold being put in timeout. Was that going to wake him up a little bit? Because the next step, of course, is to bench him permanently. And then his career is kaput. He's a backup quarterback, no longer a starter in this league. How about the Broncos defense? Because as a bettor, I'm looking at the Broncos, and I thought the Broncos' defense was going to be the strength of this team. The quarterback controversy or competition, if you will, was not anything I was willing to endorse. That has played out. And to me, because this is the reason why the defense is suffering right now, because of the inability on offense. I mean, I get it defensively. DVOA has been not stellar, certainly. 26th in the league, defensive DVOA. But this offense, Josh, this offense, the last four games during their losing streak, has only averaged 16 points a game. Last week, they were only on the field 23 minutes. for that football game. To me, that just increases the liability to your defense. A lot of injuries on that side of the ball, too. So in order for the Broncos' defense to get better, their offense certainly has to improve.
I'm right there with you, Pritch. And again, two teams that are desperate here to get a win. You look at the football team, they've lost three straight. Broncos have lost four straight. Broncos do have a little bit of a rest advantage playing on that Thursday night, whereas Washington played a regular Sunday game here. But Pritch, you talk about Denver's defense. How about Washington's defense? This is a team that, you know, every milk bottle you look at missing. We're missing, all these defensive players for Washington. They're just not getting it done. They're giving up 30 points a game. And good point by you with Denver only averaging 20 points a game. You know, I was holding that +3.5 ticket at the Cleveland Browns with Teddy Two Gloves, and you're able to cover that number, not the closing one. But this is a team that is really not generating a lot offensively. Their defense leaves some, a lot to be desired here. One thing that I noticed with this Washington-Denver game this weekend is you did see it tick up a little bit. It was an opening total of 44. It's been up to 44 or 44.5 right now. So this isn't a total that's dropping in the altitude. It's staying the same or rising. So maybe you get some points in this one, Pritch. And I am interested in Washington here. I think offensively, again, you look at the kind of discrepancy. They're both about 20 a game, but recently Washington a little bit better offensively. Denver struggling here. If you're giving me +3.5, I think this is key, Pritch. A lot of these books were Denver -3.5. They're now down to 3. So it's telling me a little bit of money coming in there on the football team on the road that would match that, you know, short road dog 6 or less system, which I think is around 68% ATS this year. So if you can find the hook, to me, the football team is worth a shot here. And again, a 3-point spread on a home team, it's kind of like a pick 'em game on a neutral site. That's basically what the odds makers are telling you. So a little bit of kind of almost a contrarian over, thinking it's going to be a low-scoring game, yet it stayed the same or risen. And if you can find the hook there on the football team, I'd be intrigued by getting the hook there.
Okay, yeah, yards are yards. But, I mean, just look at how this defense is playing for the Broncos in terms of, 1.1 red zone touchdowns per game so far this year. What they're allowing 18 points a game this year, I believe. But then offensively, if you're only scoring 16 points a game, Josh, I don't care how good your defense is, you're going to lose those games. So 0-4 losing streak right there. Fix the offense so that defense can prosper right there. And then the 49ers. There's so much to fix with the 49ers. But let's start with the quarterback situation, self-inflicted quarterback situation right here. 21st in DVOA, pass offense, 25th in pass efficiency on early downs as well. But it's so obvious that the 49ers created this own controversy or this own situation by drafting Lance in the first place. You had Garoppolo, off the injured, I get it. But what is Garoppolo supposed to do here? Now you're asking him to play stellar football, and Garoppolo doesn't want any part of that right now. I mean, the guy wants out. I wouldn't be surprised if he's traded, to be honest with you. They can't do it because Lance is banged up. But how do you equate betting this team as a 4-point favorite when they have a self-inflicted, self-caused quarterback controversy or situation in which they can't get great play out of either guys right now?
Yeah, to me, Pritch, I know they're, a 3.5-4-point favorite. We've seen with Khalil Mack being out here, it did tick up in their favor. But I don't think you can lay these points here with San Fran until they prove otherwise. They're 1-5 ATS. They've lost a bunch of games in a row. And the injuries are really stacking up here. Losing George Kittle completely changes their offense. So Kittle's been out. Mostert's been out pretty much all year. And then a big injury, which is a reason why I like the Colts getting the points there against San Fran last week, is Trent Williams, Pritch, one of the best tackles in all of football. He's doubtful. I don't think he's going to play in this game either with an ankle injury. So you're missing all these guys. I know it's tough to back the Bears because they're not scoring at all. And again, to cover this number, you're going to have to score a bit. But if this is a 17-14 game, you can get the hook or the +4. I still think the value's on Chicago, two teams that are struggling. But this is more of a pick 'em type game, Pritch. And if you're giving me 3.5-4, I'd look toward the Bears here. Windy conditions. Again, so many injuries, and Shanahan outthinking himself, outsmarting himself. I don't think laying the points here is worth it. They could surprise you, but until they prove otherwise, San Francisco is not a team I'm going to look at laying points with. Mm-hmm. Getting points, maybe, but not laying points on the road.
Yeah, I'll look at 49ers a little bit in terms of from a betting perspective, and that's all I'm doing right now because they need to fix this situation with their quarterbacks. The quarterbacks are alphas. And right now, Garoppolo is not being treated as alpha, and he wants out. They need to trade him in order to fix that situation right there in San Francisco. We're going to continue with the program with market insights from Josh Applebaum right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Betting Across America with Mike Pritchard and Josh Applebaum on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, welcomes you to Showtime with a special offer on the World Series. Simply place a $10 moneyline wager on any game. If either team hits a home run in the game, you'll win $200 in free bets regardless of your bet's outcome. Just use bonus code VSEN200 when you make your first bet to take advantage of this offer. Enjoy the World Series like never before with BetMGM's live betting options and boosted odds for every game. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use bonus code VSEN200 to win $200 in free bets if a home run is hit in the World Series game you wager on. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com. For terms and conditions, must be at least 21 years old to wager. It's a new customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. If you feel that you have a problem, it's 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back to the program. It's Betting Across America. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum with you today. So a little bit of news influencing a line right now. Josh Applebaum, great observation by you, Dak Prescott. McCarthy, a little concerned with his quarterback.
Yeah, so we saw some news a little bit earlier today, and I noticed this line for the Vikings game started to tick down a little bit. I'm saying, hey, what's going on here? COVID, injuries, is it just respected money coming in here? Because remember, Dallas opened at like a one-point favorite on the road. They do match a lot of systems. Favored off a bye, 58% ATS last decade. Road favored off a bye, 66% ATS last decade. Dallas is really popular to play. They're playing great. They were -1 all the way to 2.5. And I was thinking, hey, early money on Cowboys, maybe an early money line, low water mark that number, anything like -130 or less. But hey, if it gets to 3, there's probably going to be a lot of value and buyback on Vikings +3. Then I look up today, Pritch. This line is back down. We're showing 2.5 on our screen, but this thing is all the way back down to 1.5 right now. Mm. So it's basically, to me, it seems like it's off the news of Dak Prescott in this calf strain. It looks like he sustained this injury and that overtime pass against the Patriots, which, by the way, don't bring it up because that killed my Patriots plus the points bet, so we're not going to talk about
you
that.
You brought it up.
But yeah, I brought it up because that's the first thing that comes to mind. You always remember the bets you lose, Pritch. You never remember the ones you win. Isn't that the case?
Yes.
But yeah, this is just, I want to mention, this is a big reason why we're seeing this line come back down. If you're waiting for the +3 with Vikings, I don't think you're going to get it. We're going to wait on Dak, see what the deal is with him. But Minnesota, to me, has a lot of value here. You could say on the one hand, if Dak plays and you get a -1.5, -2, a -130 money line all day. But Pritch, this is an incredibly lopsided game. A lot of the data from BetMGM, DraftKings, about 90% of bets are laying the points with the Cowboys here. Yet the Vikings, don't sleep on the Vikings. You know, they've won their last two games, 3 of their last 4, and they're getting some points at home when nobody's on them. Again, primetime dogs, 14-7 ATS this year. So we'll see how this Dak news, does he get a designation? There should be an update today. If he's feeling better, maybe you see this thing tick back up. But it's intriguing to me that with this Dak, question mark here, you're seeing the movement back to the Vikings, and the Vikings are, I believe, your top contrarian play of the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. We're seeing a lot of calf strains this year in the National Football League, too. I mean, Hunt comes to mind. He was not even during contact, strained his calf. We're seeing offensive linemen with calf strains, and now quarterback Dak Prescott, which I think coaches are proceeding with caution here because you don't want that to, handicap your season in terms of what's at the end of the season. For one game against the Vikings, it feels like McCarthy is going to be really cautious here.
Yeah, I think he should be too. And again, maybe it's one of those things in baseball, Pritch, where there's a scheduled day off. You give a guy a day off the day before and he gets 2 days off. So I don't know if he's going to miss this game, but this move back down is legit. And again, you're coming off a bye. Would he need 2 weeks? Mm-hmm. Dak is your team. With him being back, this is a completely different team that is a Super Bowl contender here, Pritch. So you don't want to make this any worse. So we're going to have to see how this develops throughout the week. But before we get to today's plays, Pritch, I just want to throw one more game at you that caught my eye is the Titans and the Colts here. You have the Titans who have won their last 3 games. They've been looking great. They're not just beating teams. They're beating really good teams. You beat Kansas City. You roll on them 27-3. You beat Buffalo. Before that was Jacksonville. And they lose to the Jets, ironically. Pritch, how do you lose to the Jets and then beat the Bills and beat the Chiefs? makes zero sense to me. But anyway, I think the Colts are taking in some respect and money here. Don't sleep on the Colts either. They've won three of their last four. They probably should have won four in a row if they don't blow it at the Ravens a couple weeks ago. But this is a really lopsided play toward Tennessee. A lot of these books have been ping-pong and back and forth, minus one Tennessee, minus one Colts, but everyone's on Tennessee, the Tennessee Titans after their couple big wins. To me, that creates a little bit of an overvalued spot for Tennessee. And I'm seeing a lot of these books that were Titans yesterday, minus 1.5. It's now down to a pick 'em, and I'm seeing a lot of books minus one Colts. So it's just notable to me that the Titans are a really lopsided play, yet we're not seeing Titans go to minus two, minus three. It's actually pick 'em or moving toward the Colts. I think the Colts could be a sneaky, sneaky play here at home, maybe a money line spot. Why is this thing going in their favor when everyone's on Tennessee? Looks like maybe some respected money on Carson Wentz here.
Yeah, I mean, in particular, this game at a pick 'em situation, but then also a few weeks ago, we highlighted a buy low opportunity on the Colts as they continue to hopefully get healthy. And Carson Wentz getting more comfortable with this football team. So interesting development right there in that game. Let's look at baseball because we got insights from BetMGM. Game two. Here we go. Ticket count, 61% on the Astros from a percentage standpoint. The handle, 76% of the handle on the Astros. Astros have stayed at minus 115. I'm looking at actually minus 117 here at the South Point.
Yeah, so a little bit of movement toward Houston. I know, you know, on our board, it's they kind of stayed the same, but they did open at some shops. I saw early openers, minus 105, minus 110, pretty much a pick 'em number slightly in favor of Houston, seeing if they can bounce back and even up this series here at home. So it's moved in their favor. Now, as you're right, you're totally right, Pritch. Minus 114, minus 117. It's trending toward Houston. If you look at this data from our friends at BetMGM, we have the Astros getting 61% of bets, but 76% of money. Again, low bets, higher dollars, about a 15% discrepancy there. Tells me some of these bigger wagers are on Houston. I totally respect Adam in terms of, hey, this red hot Braves team, that it's going to be one of those teams that no one believes in them until they hoist the title here, Pritch. But if you're getting plus money, I get it. But I like this Houston club to bounce back today. A low bets, higher dollar situation. We do know favorites and home teams have been pretty good so far this playoffs and historically, even though they didn't get it done last night. Home teams in the playoffs now 21-11, 66% so far this year. Also, World Series favorites off a loss. That's been a profitable spot as well. That's close to around 65% as well. So I'll be looking at laying with Houston here, and I do think the over is intriguing. You really wanted to get it at over 8.5. A lot of these books opened 8.5, as we're showing on our board, 67% of bets, but 88% of money. Another big low bets, higher dollar situation, telling you those bigger wagers on the over. And we did see this thing tick up to 9 now, Pritch. And I was saying, hey, if you miss the 8.5, it might come back. The 9 was under, juiced up minus 120. But I don't think it's going to come back. All these 9s are now evening out minus 110. So okay, even if you miss the 8.5, Urquidy can give up some runs. You know, obviously, you know, bullpens worked a lot last night. So I'd be leaning over here. The 8.5 would have been the play for me. Maybe lean 9 as well. And I think Houston evens up this series tonight. So those are the two sides I'd be looking at for game two of the World Series.
Yeah, I like the total. Hopefully it's not too late as we're looking at 9 here on the board because, like you mentioned, the bounce back from Houston, that lineup, I mean, they're too good not to bounce back. Number one in runs, number one in hits, number one in RBIs, and then certainly in terms of strikeouts, they were one of the least strikeout teams this year too. So looking for them to bounce back. The Braves, they'll probably remain hot. There's something about this team. Josh, again, only 88 regular season wins. They lose Acuna, but yet they find a way. Now they lose a pitcher, a key component of this team as well, and so they just find a way.
Yeah, and I think maybe if you want to buy low on the Houston series price right now, I think you're getting a little plus money. Okay. With Charlie Morton being out, that's a huge thing, Pritch. If this series is tied late, right, he pitches a game five, a game six. You know, it used to be back in the day, your number one guy. My Pedro Martinez would go game one, game four, and game seven, but you don't really do that anymore now that analytics have taken over. But if you're getting Astros plus 135, Braves' best starter is now out, I think it could be a time to buy low on Houston here if they get their bats going and you don't have to worry about Charlie Morton later in the series now that he's out for the series.
Okay, the Market Insights podcast. Again, listen to Josh Applebaum every day on that. Do you have any other plays that you highlighted on your podcast?
Yeah, a couple plays here, Pritch. So number one, looking at the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight, Chicago Blackhawks are in a really tough situation. There's a scandal going on in their organization. They have a COVID outbreak with Kane, Taze, all these guys being out. We saw Toronto, who's lost four straight. They're on the road. They open around minus 160. They've been steamed up close to minus 200. So I know you're missing a lot of value here now that this number has moved so much. But I do like the Leafs to take advantage of all this drama surrounding the Blackhawks and a lot of guys being out. I laid it with the Leafs tonight. Another one that caught my eye, Pritch, Dallas Stars. Dallas Stars at home, they opened minus 130. They've been steamed up to minus 160. By the way, can you believe VGK, with all their guys out, went into Colorado and won?
Yeah.
That was a tough one for me, Pritch. I really love the Avs there. It just goes to show you, betting, anything can happen. Mm-hmm. But I like the Stars to bounce back. They're getting some good guys back. Klingberg, Robertson, and we did see this big move in their favor against the VGK team with Lauren Brassat in goal tonight. I think they can Stars can take advantage of him. So those are a couple of hockey plays. And then the NBA, Pritch. What's intriguing, I just want to get this out there, some intriguing numbers so far in the NBA. Unders are 59% and favorites are 57% ATS. So we've seen unders and favorites do very well. One play that caught my eye was a over in the Hornets Magic game, open 217 up to 220. You have Charlotte as, I think, one of the best or number five offensive efficiency team. Orlando and Charlotte both terrible defensively. I'll go over with the Magic over 220.
All right, great job as always, Josh. I am going to bed.
So you got after it last
yes,
night.
Yes, I did.
You deserve it.
Yes,
you
I did.
You deserve it, my man.
Absolutely. Thanks. The Edge coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.